At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. We've got ourselves a tremendous podcast today as Ethan Bach, who does absolutely tremendous work over at the Portal Report, he's going to be joining me in segment number two, and we're going to be chatting with him about what we've all noticed here in the coaching cycle. He does a great job covering West Virginia along with just all things in the transfer portal, and we're going to be talking with him about some of the coaching moves that he liked this offseason and how he expects some of these teams to approach a transfer portal, some of the early winners of the transfer portal, and just the makeup of some of these teams perhaps moving forward and if teams are going to be copying the UConn model. So we're going to be joined by him in segment number two, and something else we're going to be talking about with him is these teams that might be in the toughest circumstances, and I'll give you guys about 5 minutes on the teams I do think are in the toughest circumstances as well. And then in the final segment, you're going to be getting about 29 minutes of news and notes in college basketball. Lots of transfers happen on Wednesday. We're going to recap all those along with a few NBA draft decisions. And if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at @Junin_D1. Keep in mind, Lurzium, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on the podcast via that 5-star review. And didn't get in any Twitter /X questions, so help me out here. Send in some of those questions. But that said, just taking a look at the offseason, the toughest teams to be able to gauge, in my opinion, the teams that are going to be in the toughest spots are these teams that are going to be having these NBA draft decisions. Now, I was sort of joking about this. These guys that announced that they're entering into the NBA draft, and they've already picked their transfer landing spot. I don't think a lot of these guys are going to be staying in the NBA draft, and that has shown to be the case over the last few seasons, but it is a case where some of these teams, they do have to still have in the back of their mind, all right, do we hold this roster spot or not? And I do think that these are the teams that are really going to be up against it. Like, we saw Alabama be one of these teams that are now in this circumstance as well. They had Mark Sears enter in for the NBA draft on Wednesday, and I think that that's a team that's going to be very interesting to watch, because I think that Mark Sears perhaps has some nice NBA prospects. I'm not sure if I'm speaking out of turn here, but I think that he's got a legitimate decision. What does Alabama do? Do they fill that spot? Do they leave it vacant? These are the teams I think really find themselves in the toughest of circumstances, and we're going to see a few more of these crystallize in the coming days and coming weeks, but these are the teams that you really want to be mindful of, because there are going to be some of these teams that are going to need to try to hit the transfer portal very, very late because they were banking on a guy coming back to school. They heard what they liked and they decided that they were going to bolt to the NBA draft. We get a few of those every single year, and I think that these are the teams that really are the most fascinating to be able to take a look at, because I do think that if they're able to do it right, if they're able to gamble on a guy like Alabama, for example, we'll bring that up once again, with Mark Sears declaring for the NBA draft, if he decides to come back to Alabama, they hold that spot open. They've done a nice job of handling it, and they're going to have another year of Mark Sears. If they are banking on Mark Sears to come back and he decides not to, then Alabama all of a sudden needs to find a way to be able to replace their top scorer. They need to retool a little bit of everything. That's what I'm talking about with these teams that are going to be in a very tough circumstance if it does land wrong for them. So I do think that that's going to be something to be mindful of, and we're going to be seeing more of those draft decisions in the coming days, coming weeks, and no doubt about it, the NBA Draft Combine is certainly going to be something to watch out for as well, but did want to give my thoughts there. And coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about that topic with Ethan Bach, but coupled with that, we're going to be talking about the Big 12 coaching moves that we've seen here in the offseason, how he's gauging the transfer portal, how he just took a look at the coaching carousel as well, and so much more right here on Coast Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie, too, for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie, too, for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Back here in Las Vegas, for Gus with myself, Vegas Peterson, now part of the Beats and Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, is Ethan Bach. He does absolutely tremendous work over at the Portal Report. I know on top of that, he's doing amazing work over at WV Sports Now. That's covering all things West Virginia, college basketball, what have you, as his main beat is on the college basketball side of things. I know he also does a great job looking at the stars of tomorrow as one of the main recruiting analysts over at the Portal Report as well. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X. And his first and last name, Ethan Bock. That last name is spelled B-O-C-K. And then you got an underscore after that. And Ethan, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Ethan. And Ethan, I'm sure that you are very excited for what should be a little bit of a less busy offseason than last offseason, where we had all the Bob Huggins hoopla, what have you, but certainly early on in late March, early April, things were very busy with West Virginia going through a coaching search after what all happened last year. They land on the, I guess you call it DeVries Square combination, as you get Tucker DeVries, the son of Darren DeVries, the coach. Just what has been the tenor around West Virginia with all this, and how have the DeVrieses, I guess you could say, been attacking the portal thus far this offseason?
Last offseason, I don't think West Virginia can even duplicate that again if they tried. So having this offseason, it's still chaotic in its ways, but just a new energy with Darren DeVries taking over West Virginia's program. Going on from the Bob Huggins era, Josh Eiler wasn't retained as interim coach. So just going on to this new era, and yeah, it's a package deal with bringing Darren's son Tucker from Drake. So Missouri Valley Player of the Year, I mean, that's a nice package deal. Now DeVries, 3 weeks into the job, starting to get the assistants rolling in, then it's going to be all forced towards the transfer portal.
Absolutely. And just with DeVries taking over as a coach, how much do you feel like there might be a little bit of an energy just to try to get things in place quickly? Because I think that one of the biggest issues that West Virginia had last offseason, which, I mean, if you want to name off about 50 of them, I'm sure that you could name off 50 of them, but I do feel like a part of it was everything had to come together at the last minute, and do you sense that there's a little bit of a sense of urgency to just get everything in place relatively quickly so that way he could just put his stamp on the program and try to be able to implement things throughout the summertime, a luxury that West Virginia, quite frankly, did not have last season?
Yeah, I think at West Virginia, you almost have two sides of this. You have one side with Darren DeVries, who just goes at a slow pace, but he figures things out through the offseason, while you have the other side of West Virginia fans who are putting the pressure on for things to happen now because they go through a 9-win season, one of the worst seasons in program history, and just with all the drama the last calendar year with Bob Huggins and, yeah, 50 other things, like you said, et cetera. I think this fan base also wants to see results happen quick, especially with teams already recruiting the transfer portal, getting commits with the window closing in 2 weeks. West Virginia fans want to see a team built quickly. But with Darren DeVries, he's going to take this slow. He's not going to have a team completed by the beginning of May. This is going to head into the end of May and possibly even June. You have two sides of this, and it's interesting to see.
Yep, absolutely. And it is something that I do feel like a lot of different teams do go through as well, because while everyone wants quick results, while everyone wants a team built right away, as we know, when it comes to the transfer portal and north of 1,700 guys out there, there are going to be some guys that are going to be left out there in May/June. And just how do you take a look at these teams that they attack the portal quickly versus the teams that they do wait a little bit longer? Because I do think that if you let things linger through May into early June, you're fine. I think the real danger zone, and this is where West Virginia, in my opinion, went wrong last season, once you get past June, I feel like that's a point of no return, and it makes it very, very difficult to have any sort of camaraderie, whether it be West Virginia or whether it be any team in all of college basketball.
Yeah, with West Virginia last offseason, they had both arms tied behind their back. They couldn't do anything really after Bob Huggins. You had the grad transfer wave and the portal that occurs towards the end of the summer. And then other than that, West Virginia staff just had to go and find players that were just, they entered early, but they just weren't taken by teams. They're kind of just hidden in the portal, like a Noah Farrakhan, for example. He entered in April and they didn't get him until August. So his recruitment went a long time. It's interesting to see which teams are at a quick pace and which teams kind of slow down, especially if they have a lot of spots to fill, slow down and just take their time with it. There's pros and cons, I think, to both. I think obviously pros, if you go quick, you're getting a team in early and you can start building that chemistry fast. But at the same time, you don't know if the guys you're getting early in this cycle or in the portal for the right reasons or not. I think that's another aspect with the transfer portal.
Yep, it certainly is. And there are some teams that, as we know, some of them aren't really going to have too many options as well, just because they're going to be a little bit hamstrung by others' decisions. As joining me on the show, we are talking to Ethan Bach, who does great work over at Portal Report, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I'm talking about those teams that they've got guys that they enter into the NBA draft, but at the same time, they also, like, either A, enter into the transfer portal and already announce where they're going to, like, Jabri Abdul-Rahim is a good example of this. Already announced that he's going to be going to Providence, but he also announced that he's going to be entering into the NBA draft. Here's a spoiler. Most of these guys actually do transfer. You don't find too many guys that decide, hey, I'm going to transfer here, but I'm going to enter into the draft and actually stay in the draft. But how much pressure do you think there are on some of these teams as well? Because when you do have a guy that's going to be like a fringe second-round pick, you don't know whether he's going to stay in the draft or if he's going to be staying in the transfer portal. I feel like these are the teams that they have the most to gain slash lose these next few weeks, because if they wait around and they have their guys stay in the NBA draft, they're put in a really tough spot. Meanwhile, if they try to fill that spot and the guy wants to come back, well, then they're also in a very difficult ordeal with regards to roster construction.
It's tough because if teams are trying to, for example, get a center and their center, he's declared for the draft or he's just exploring other options, it makes it tough for teams to figure out if do they want to go all in on that transfer portal kid or take a step back and hope that their guy returns back to school. You roll the dice by if you want to stay loyal to your guy and just hope that he exits the draft, because by that point, it's not too late, but you're getting to the point where you could be scrambling to find that right fit for your team.
Yep, absolutely. I do think that it's so interesting to take a look at these sorts of teams, and it certainly is interesting to take a look at the teams that have been going through a lot of changes. As we know, West Virginia, they are certainly one of those teams out there, but we did see BYU have to go through quite a bit of one as well. Mark Pope, he decided that he is going to be becoming the coach of Kentucky, and that led BYU about 48 or so hours ago to hiring on the Suns assistant and Kevin Young as their new head coach. And I want to get your thoughts here, because you do have quite a bit of intel with regards to the Big 12. And we noticed in this coaching cycle that there was a big shift into taking a look at proven coaches. A lot of these guys going from like the mid-major level, like a Danny Sprinkle, and going up to a little bit of a higher level. We saw a lot of that going on, but it felt like Kevin Young was one of the more off-the-board guys and that he really doesn't have a lot of head coaching experience. But as we know, working with the Suns, working with some of the best players in the league, and like Devin Booker, Kevin Durant and company, he certainly has an eye for talent.
Yeah, the hire Kevin Young at BYU is interesting because, first of all, it killed the carousel the second round that Cal started. Just the whole NBA to college aspect with Young, he's been in the NBA slash D League and G League for about 15 years, and he takes over a BYU program that finished fifth in the Big 12, which was a really big win for them. They didn't advance far in March, but they were still a competitive team, and I think more competitive than the rest of the Big 12 thought. Him taking over that program and joining one of the best conferences in college basketball, I think it's going to be a challenge even for an NBA guy. He clearly is a offensive-minded, just genius, but I think with the recruiting side, like, it's so much different than the NBA. I don't want to call it babysitting because you could probably be babysitting the NBA guys as well, but just I think the whole recruiting aspect is such a different animal, especially in college now, than it used to be. And then you take that NBA guy and then you put him in one of the best leagues in the country. I'm interested to see how it goes because he is a good coach, but is the recruiting going to be easy for him to transition into, or is it going to take a little bit?
Yep, I do think that that is going to be so fascinating as well, because we've seen a lot of guys have success at the NBA level. And like a lot of people forget, prior to him taking the job at Georgetown many years ago, Patrick Ewing was quite a solid NBA assistant. Goes down to the level of Georgetown, and man, that was not too terrific. to say the least. So I do think that there's going to be a lot of fascination there, and certainly that's something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on as well. And just with regards to the coaching carousel, you mentioned it with BYU, them hiring on Kevin Young. That does really stop what we're seeing now. Chicago State is going to be hiring on someone. I doubt that this is going to make a massive ripple effect or anything like that. I would think that they're taking either a lower level coach, or they're going to be taking someone that might have been a little bit of a cast off, like an assistant, what have you. So I don't think that that's going to be causing too much. But what have you made out of this year's coaching carousel? Because I was alluding to it, Kevin Young was a bit off the board, but we did notice a lot of teams going with guys that are proven winners, for lack of a better term. Many of them at a little bit of a lower level, but guys that got the job done in their previous spot. And we saw a big push away from retreads like we've seen in past years.
I've said it for a little bit now. I think the mid-major coaches, at least at the top, are a lot better than a lot of the middle-tier, low-tier Power 5 coaches. So now you're starting to get that transition of those mid-major guys making that jump up, like Darren Dorees, Pat Kelsey, Dusty May, et cetera, Mark Byington too. Finally, they're all making this jump at the same time. And it was an interesting carousel, I think, this offseason. Obviously, Cal to Arkansas, I don't think anybody expected. But even like Dusty May to Michigan, like I think people thought he was going to Louisville. And Ohio State's sticking around with Jake Diebler. I mean, one of the best assistants in the game, but he only coached about 8 games after Chris Holtman was fired. So with Ohio State rolling the dice, it kind of led to other things happening, like West Virginia and Oklahoma State finding their coaches. Louisville eventually finding Pat Kelsey. It was interesting to see the mid-major guys finally get that opportunity at high major basketball, just with Ohio State taking a chance on Diebler and Dusty May going to Michigan, Cal going to Arkansas. Those were the 3 moves I don't think people really expected.
Yeah, there were quite a few unexpected moves, and I think that you laid them out very well. As Ethan Bach, who does great work over at Portal Report, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And that leads into now what we've got in the transfer portal, and I know that you're doing a great job of being able to decipher all this, and it is hard for any mere mortal to decipher 1,719 players, as I refresh verbal commits, being in the transfer portal. But just what are you looking for during this portal cycle? Because I do think that for a lot of teams, we might see a little bit of change in philosophy, like we saw with the SEC this past offseason. They realized that they didn't have a lot of jump shooting during the 2022-23 season. You saw a lot of teams like Tennessee be able to buff up a little bit on that front. Florida brought in a lot of guard play. They changed their system a little bit. How much do you think we're going to be seeing a lot of teams perhaps try to have a little bit of philosophy shift this offseason, trying to really address what they did wrong the past season?
I think the biggest thing that everybody's going to now try to do is emulate UConn's build of you get your freshmen in, develop, retain, and then you plug and play with portal guys like a Cam Spencer or like a Tristan Newton as well. So I think a lot of teams are going to start trying to emulate that. I think what Coach Cal struggled with at Kentucky at the end was one and done era ended, transfer portal era began, and he tried to mix the two. But a lot of those one and done freshmen he was still getting, obviously they weren't staying and developing, building team chemistry. So it was almost dueling his one and done philosophy, which worked for years, and then combining that with the transfer portal. And he got good players in the transfer portal, Oscar Sheboy, Trey Mitchell, Antonio Reeves, etc. I think they look at what UConn's done, and even like a Houston or Baylor, just how those teams have been built over the last 3 years. And I think everybody's going to try to do that. And it's going to work for some, and it's not going to work at all for others.
Yep, absolutely. And you see it, it's a copycat league just wherever you are. We remember many years ago in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins had success with the Wildcat, and lo and behold, everyone's running the Wildcat now. So I do think that that is something that is so key. And I'm so glad that you do bring up that point about UConn, because you did notice with UConn that they brought in like 1 or 2 impact guys in the transfer portal, but they retained so many. And how much do you think that, unless if it's out of necessity, like these newer coaches are going to need to do so. You're over there in West Virginia. When it comes to DeVries, he's going to need to hit the transfer portal, and it's very hard for him to maintain the guys that were on West Virginia a season ago. But other than these new coaches, How much do you think that a lot of these teams are going to try to go away from more of that Eric Musselman style of trying to bring in like 10 transfers, but just trying to spray the board, but rather try to go for like one or two impact guys, because that does seem to be the blueprint, to your point, that has worked out so well for these teams that have made that run to the Final Four, being able to bring in one or two impact guys, but not wrecking the entire boat?
I think teams are going to start trying it. But like I said, I don't know how many teams are going to be able to do it successfully. Because there's still so many guys entering the portal. We're at the last cycle of the COVID year options without any weird circumstances next year or the year after. There's still so many guys entering. And then with the NCAA allowing a multi-time transfers officially now, I could see the number going down, but this year it's not going to go down at all. We're going to go well over 2,000 entries for sure, which it's insane. But like I said, there's too many kids entering to the point where these teams aren't going to be able to do it. They're still going to have their 8, 9, 10 player portal additions, even if it's not a first-year head coach that has to do it. And I think the right formula is just doing what Dan Hurley did. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take 3 to 4 years of just retaining guys and developing them. And then once you get to that point where you're doing that, then you can go plug and play in the portal.
Absolutely. As Ethan Bach, who does tremendous work over at the Portal Report, is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And it's very early on in the transfer portal. We are going to be seeing a whole bunch of movement over the next few weeks. But some teams have gotten the ball rolling early. And are there any teams that jump out at you as to what they brought in initially that you take a look at it and you like what they brought into this point?
UCLA, it's not a dark horse. I think they've had one of the better classes a couple weeks in. But just the players they've been able to bring in after a pretty rough season with Mick Cronin. It definitely is worse since he has gotten to Los Angeles. But just going out there getting like a Sky Clark and a Kobe Johnson, just Power 5 players at least, Eric Daly as well from Oklahoma State. But just getting the high major guys to be able to come in. And so far, UCLA's had a solid class. Like I said, plug and play with guys that he could bring back from last year's UCLA team and see if they can have a strong finish during the portal season.
Yep, absolutely. And it's going to be really interesting to see what we get all throughout the offseason. I know that you, Ethan, do an absolutely amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. And I know you're going to be following the transfer portal all offseason. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep, so you can follow me at EthanBach_ on Twitter, as well as the Portal Report. We're just getting started with the portal. We're nowhere close to being done, so buckle up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It is going to be a long, long ride. We're going to need to get Ethan on quite a bit here in the offseason because he's one of the best at being able to take a look at the transfer portal and deciphering all that we're going to be getting for this upcoming season. So big thanks to Ethan for joining me on Coast to Coast Superstar, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you a roundup of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. It was great to be able to get Ethan Bach aboard. He does amazing work over at the Portal Report, taking a look at what we're all getting this offseason. He also does a great job following the beat of West Virginia as well, so it is always a pleasure to have him aboard. He joined me a lot last offseason because, boy, that West Virginia offseason was not too terrific, and I'll get him on quite a bit here this offseason as well. Fortunately, I don't think we're going to have as much off-the-court drama with West Virginia, but certainly we've got north of 1,700 players already in the transfer portal, and he's one of the best at being able to take a look at it all. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday, and at this point it's just portal moves as Dre Davis, he decided that he is going to be heading on over to Ole Miss, and I think that Chris Beard is going to be able to utilize him very well. 15 points, 6 boards, an assist and a half, while shooting 35% from 3 this past year at Seton Hall, and actually shot north of 40% 2 seasons ago. Now, when I was at Louisville, he was a career about 22% 3-point shooter, so certainly he's been able to work on that quite a bit, but I love his overall skill set. He's about 6'5" or so, and Chris Beard just does a really good job in general with those guys that are sort of positionless, those guys that are like 6'6" to 6'7" that are able to go out there, give you a few threes, but still willing to be able to hit the boards, stuff like that. I do think that Dre Davis checks all the boxes of an ideal Chris Beard sort of guy, and I do think that he's going to be able to come in, have quite a bit of success, and for Ole Miss, they've done a relatively solid job thus far in the transfer portal. Not like they've got 100 million billion guys, but he joins Mikel Brown Jones in this class as well. Another guy that I think really fits the Chris Beard system. So far so good for our good friends Ole Miss on the transfer portal front. We did see David Early decide that he is going to be transferring to Radford, and he is a early commit to Radford, as we're very early on with regards to the portal process. But for David Early last season, solid player while he was over at Tennessee Tech. He, 2 seasons ago, was over at Marshall, but supplied the team with 14.5 points per contest. One concern that you do have is that each of the last 2 seasons, he's been really dealing with injuries, and you can throw in there each of the last 3. He's played 22 games or fewer in 3 of his 4 seasons at the college level, but he shot 37% from 3 this past season, throwing there a little bit over a steal per contest. At 6'4", I think that he's going to fit Radford very well. Radford, more of a defense-oriented program. Last year, they just didn't have the guys to be able to do so. So I do think that they're going to turn over a little bit of a new leaf this season, and I do think that this is very much a step in the right direction for them. And we did see a few new portal, I guess you'd call it, entrants as well. One of those is a gentleman from NC State that you expected him to see some playing time, but he really didn't get a lot of that much towards the back half of the season. Ernest Ross, a former top 100 recruit, he only saw 14 games this past season and averaged less than a point per contest. His best year came 2 seasons ago, 2022-23 campaign, 3.5 points per contest. Very highly touted recruit that just has never been able to find it here at NC State. He's 6'9", he's got a pretty nice skill set, not one that really is going to be popping a lot of threes, but he's able to give you a little bit of a low post presence, but he just could never really find his footing when it came to his career over at NC State, so we shall see where he goes from here. But that's an interesting little portal addition, and I do think that these are some of the guys that are hardest to gauge because he had all the just hype around him during high school. He comes into college, just is unable to find it, and some of these guys on their second and third homes, they really are able to erupt, and some of these guys, they give you a big giant turd. So we shall see what is going to be happening on this front. We know what is going to be happening here. Malik Mack, he has decided that he is going to be going to Georgetown, and this is the sort of explosive scorer that I feel like Georgetown is begging for. 17 points, 4 boards, 4.8 assists per contest, with shooting right in the neighborhood about 40% from 3-point range. I think that Ed Cooley is absolutely going to love this guy. He's a smart kid. He was going to Harvard, so no doubt about it. There's that aspect of things, but for Georgetown, they just need to find a little bit more of a take-over-the-game sort of guard. They did have last year Jaden Epps, but I don't know if Jaden Epps has quite the skill set that Mack does. And Mack, he was the Rookie of the Year out there in the Ivy League as well. He was just a freshman a season ago, so I think that that is going to be really, really nice for Georgetown if they're able to keep him around for multiple years. You saw Victor Lakeen decide that he is going to be going to Clemson, and for Clemson, you got to figure that PJ Hall is now out of the fold, and this is going to be big for them. He's not going to be quite PJ Hall. He doesn't shoot the three the same way, but 9 points, 6 boards, he's able to do a relatively solid job on the interior. Once again, not quite as versatile in terms of being able to pop threes, but he has an ability to be able to pop some threes as well, so I do think that this is a really good gift for a Clemson program that all of a sudden
Brad Brunell, it felt like they were trying to kick down that door. They were unable to do so for a long time, but perhaps their Elite Eight run this season is going to allow them to bust through and become an upper echelon team. Moving forward out there in now a new look ACC. Julian Tewormo, he last season was playing over at Gardner-Webb, one of their main scorers, was able to supply the team with about 12.5 points per contest, shot 36% from three-point, doled out 2.5 assists, gave the team a steal per contest. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to East Carolina. East Carolina deal with a few losses here in the offseason. The biggest one, in my opinion, in terms of backcourt, Bobby Pettiford, who's doing a nice job doling out the ball. He is out of the fold, so you have to figure that he's going to be a replacement for them. And Gardner-Webb is typically a relatively solid defense. They weren't this past season, but I do think that Swarmo is going to be a nice commit for East Carolina. I do think that this is going to be a nice addition for them, and I do think that this is going to be pretty rock solid as well. Deion Perry, he's heading on over to the Stags of Fairfield. He was over at Loyola Maryland this last year, an All-Patriot League performer, and he really, in his 2 years over at Loyola Maryland, was very good. Shot 42% from three-point range as a freshman, only about 35% this past season, but was a nice facilitator. 17 points, 0.5, 3 assists per contest. Did not really have a lot around him over at Loyola Maryland, so I do think that him being in a Fairfield program that, I mean, this past season, they let go of Jay Young literally weeks before the start of the campaign, and yet somehow, some way, this team was able to rebuild themselves. Chris Casey did a really nice job there. I do think that they're starting to build something out there in the great state of Connecticut, which I believe Fairfield is in the great state of Connecticut. I apologize if I'm mistaken, but I do like what is happening out there, so that's a big ad. This is also a big ad. Matt Oloko, he's going to look to go Oloko for Notre Dame. Was a big part of the team that made the Sweet 16 two seasons ago over at Princeton. He's a two-league all-conference performer, one of the better sharpshooters that you're going to find in all of college basketball, and that's what Notre Dame was missing. Notre Dame had to make things yucky and gross because they just really didn't have a lot of guys that were able to put the biscuit in the basket. Oloko is going to be able to help out with that. As a 6'4 do-it-all player last year over at Princeton, 12.5 points, 3 assists, was able to shoot about 91% at the free throw line, shot 42.5% from 3-point range. Micah Shrewsbury, when he was over at Penn State, was able to do a lot with players of a just similar build, similar skill set. I think that this is going to be absolutely tremendous for Notre Dame. So, do love to see that, and you do love to see this as well, as you are going to be getting Nika Kucinotowski. Hopefully I said that correctly. He's going to be entering in the transfer portal, and I do think that this guy is going to be an impact guy regardless of where he goes. Was able to log for Monmouth this last year, about 9.5 points, 8 boards. He's able to give you like a steal per contest as well, a relatively solid defender. I think that he's going to be a good addition no matter where he goes, so that's one that I'm going to be keeping my eye on. You saw Terrace Reed decide that he is going to be going to UConn, and out of all the guys over at Michigan this past season, other than Doug McDaniel, he was your biggest standout. I felt like Reed was the only guy that played defense for this team. Like, I'm not even kidding here. He did a nice job of being able to hit the boards. He was on just a rudderless ship of a Michigan team in general, but for Terrace Reed, you knew that you were going to be able to get a relatively good effort out of him night in and night out. A former top 50 guy, 9 points, 7 boards per contest. I do think that for UConn, it's certainly not going to be the same team that they had a season ago. They don't have a giant of the earth, Donovan Klingon, anymore, but I mean, he could be a nice rim protector, was able to give Michigan a block and a half per contest. Not going to be showing a lot of range or anything like that, but going to be interesting to see the makeup of this roster now that Donovan Klingon is out of the fold, as I do think that UConn is going to need to look a little bit different than that, but it could be a lot centered around Terrence Reed. I think that he's going to be able to come in right away, and I do think that Reed is going to be able to make a very nice impact, and this is going to be an impact guy as well. We saw Sidu Traore over at Manhattan decide to enter into the transfer portal as a freshman last season at Manhattan. He was solid. 11.8 points, 8.2 boards per contest for a Manhattan team that, I mean, ever since the Steve Masiello ordeal, it's just a case where this thing has been very, very strange for them, to say the least. So we're going to be gauging what happens there. But that said, you've got him now in the portal, and this is so nice that they named him twice. Frederico, he is going to be heading on over to Texas Tech, and this is going to be a big ad for Texas Tech because Grant McCaslin was really coaching up a little bit of a different style than he's used to over at Texas Tech in year number one. While he's over at North Texas was always one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball. They had that nice big man in Abdul Usman his last few years there, and they just didn't have as much rim protection this past season. Frederico is going to be able to provide that. In two seasons over at Pittsburgh, was logging about 5.5 points, a block and a half per contest, gave you about 5.5 rebounds per game, but was a nice impact piece that was able to do it on the defensive end. I think that Grant McCaslin absolutely going to love him, and that allow him to be able to implement his system just a little bit more. So I do like that add. You've got Kalu Enya, who's going to be in the fold as well. Let's say rock solid player over at Brown this past season, 9.5 points, 7.5 boards per contest. He got lost in the shuffle of having two guys in Nana Owusu-Anane along with the top scorer Keno Lilly Jr. that really stole the show, but he was able to make a nice impact for a Brown team that was absolutely awful at the beginning part of the season, I'm not going to lie to you, but towards the back half of the campaign, they were able to bust out, and I do think that that is going to be relatively big for them moving forward. We saw Jeremiah Bembry, he committed to Florida State, he was trying to head on over to West Virginia, just really didn't see a lot of playing time. He's in the transfer portal as well, so we shall see what happens there, and we shall see what happens with Sean Hansen. He was over at Cornell this past season. He's decided that he is going to be on over to George Washington for George Washington. Just an awful end of the season for them. They were looking really good out of conference, and then things got to like late January, and then they went down the toilet bowl. But for Cornell, they lose their coach in the offseason as Mr. Earl decides that he's heading to William & Mary and Brian Earl. And for Hansen, he was able to play some nice positionless basketball. 6'9", 9 points, 3.5 boards, 2 assists per contest, shot 36.5% from three-point range. He's just a little bit of a joker slash gadget player that can do exactly what is needed. George Washington likes these sort of guys. They need a little bit more depth, so hopefully they don't have him playing like 40 minutes a game because he was in a Cornell system that was about 9 or so deep. So if they can find a little bit more depth for this upcoming season, I do think that that is going to be a really good add, and we shall see what sort of an add this is going to be for Georgia Southern. As Tyson Brown, who began his career over at Rhode Island, he is heading out over there. He saw some minutes this last season. Brown was able to log about 4.5 points, 4 boards per contest, began his career over in the junior college ranks, and I mean, he's a little bit of a do-everything-in-the-post sort of guy. Not a guy that's going to step out there and shoot threes, but he's able to give you a little bit of shot blocking. He's able to give you a little bit of rebounding. Just a nice overall game for a Georgia Southern team that was absolutely atrocious on the glass, so I do think that that is going to be of impact. This is going to be of impact as well. Jackson Pavelski, he began his career over at Wofford, kid from Kimberly, Wisconsin, I believe it is, and then he decided that he was going to be going up a level to Iowa State. He just wasn't able to cut it with that backcourt from a season ago, that Iowa State backcourt, with having all that you had with Tamon Lipsby and company. He just wasn't able to find a way out there on the floor, averaging 3.5 points per contest, so he's going to be heading on over to Ohio. An Ohio program that, as we know, you've had a lot of superstars there. Mark Sears a few seasons ago, they've done a nice job of being able to develop these guys time and time again, and while he was a starter 2 seasons ago at Wofford, this guy was a takeover player at the mid-major level, which I would say that the SoCon, if not on the same level as the MAC, was a little bit better than the MAC this past season. 15 points, 3.5 assists, shot 39.5% from three. Defense has always been a little bit in question, but for Pavelski, for one, always love to give a shout out to the paper makers of Kimberly, Wisconsin. But for two, I think that this is a really good fit, and I do think that for Ohio, they're going to be able to turn this guy into what you've seen in past years with guys like Mark Sears and company that have come before him. So I do think that this is a good fit for all involved, and I do think that this is going to be a pretty rock solid one for all involved as well. Vasily Vucinovic, hopefully I said that correctly, he was over at Portland this last season. He has decided that he is going to be gone on over to Weber State. Weber State was a little bit of a top-heavy team this last season that you could tell that they could use just a little bit more in terms of size down low. They were a good rebounding team, but they weren't necessarily good at being able to contest those shots down low. And with Vucinovic, he's a 6'10 big man that comes over from Montenegro. He, 2 seasons ago over at Portland, was able to log about 5 points, about 3 rebounds per game. He saw a little bit of a dip in scoring this past season, but I do think that he's going to be a nice guy in terms of just being able to disrupt shots. I think that he's going to be able to fit in this Weber State program quite well, and I do like what the Duff man has been able to do over there at Weber State as well. For Brian Duff, he's done a nice job being able to rebuild this program ever since he took over, so that I think is going to be big. And while Portland loses them, they're going to be picking up someone from American, as you've got Jermaine Basinger Webb. Hopefully I said that correctly. He is going to be heading on over to Portland, so we don't have to cry about Portland losing any pieces for this gentleman while he was over at American. No, he was not selling blue jeans, even though they are the American Eagles, but rock solid year this past season. True 7-footer, so this is pretty much the replacement. 7.5 points, 4 boards per contest, was able to give the team just a nice little interior presence in general. Now, America, one of your, shall we say, lesser defenses in all of college basketball this past season, but I do think that he's going to be able to come in. He's going to make a little bit of an impact for a Portland team that it really looked like they were getting the ball rolling for Shante Leggins in season number one, but that took a little bit of a fall off the last two seasons, so we shall see if they're going to be able to rebuild themselves. And then, hey, a little bit of West Virginia news. We did not talk about this one with our good friend and Ethan Bach. This happened after we did the conversation, but you've got now Kobe Johnson, who's going to be in the transfer portal. And truth be told, Kobe Johnson, not necessarily the biggest impact guy this past season over at West Virginia. He was able to log for the team a few points, and this is not to be confused with the USC Kobe Johnson, but 6 points, 2.2 assists per contest, shot threes, but only shot it at about a 20 or so percent clip. Really saw starts out of necessity because we were talking about it for West Virginia. They had to build that roster on the fly. If it wasn't for the fact that they were just completely bereft of talent, he probably wouldn't have been seeing those starts. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits, because there's, I'm sure, a lot of mid-major schools that would love to make him a featured guy. And this is a guy who's been pretty well featured out there at the mid-major ranks. Caleb Sohn-Carwell, a few seasons ago, he was a double-figure scorer over at Austin Peay. I know that he spent a little bit of time over at Charlotte in this past season over at Utah Valley. 11.5 points per contest. Really the only guy for Utah Valley that could shoot threes. He shot about 34% from the outside, but he's on the transfer portal as well. Not going to be one of those guys that's going to be probably going up to the Power 5 level or anything like that, but I do think that he's going to be an impact guy, as I think Issa Mustafa is as well. His last season, which he saw really meaningful minutes over at Coastal Carolina, he was able to put up a double-double, 12.5 points, 10 rebounds per contest, went on over to TCU and was just flat out glued to their bench. And these are some of these upside guys that you do want to take a look at as well, like a Jackson Pavelski, who I was talking about a little bit before. I think that these can be really the guys that if you handicap them correctly, they can make you some good money. So that is something that I'm going to be taking a look for this offseason, as if Mustafa is able to find the right fit, I do believe that he could be sort of that guy that we did see at Coastal Carolina two seasons ago after spending some time on the bench over at TCU, making him a little bit out of sight, out of mind. Braden O'Connor. O'Connor was over at UMass Lowell this last season and was a solid player. He was one of those gadget sort of guys at 6'4", 6'5", 10 points, 4 boards, 2 assists per contest, shot about 35% from 3-point range. He's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife guy. He's heading on over to George Mason. I don't know if he's going to be like a feature guy over at George Mason, but you can tell that Tony Skin was able to do a really good job of just being able to maximize the guys that he brought in via the transfer portal. It does feel like he likes a lot of these guys. They're able to do a wide variety of things, and he comes from a UMass Lowell team that was very much defense-oriented. George Mason really slowed it down this last season, so I do think that that is going to be a nice fit. I think that this is going to be solid for Pepperdine as well. Aaron Clark, he was a pretty highly touted guy coming out of high school. He went over to Wake Forest, just couldn't see any playing time whatsoever, but he's a 6'6" guy that I remember watching him in high school. He was able to bury quite a few threes. He's going to be heading on over to Pepperdine. Pepperdine is looking to wash away the stink of everything that happened to them last season. Lorenzo Romar was unable to get things online there, but I mean, this is a nice little upside play here. Someone that was highly touted coming out of high school, but was just unable to really find his footing in general. So I do think that that is going to be one to watch out for. You have also got Toby Lowell, who's now in the transfer portal. He was over at VCU this past season and was one of their top rebounders. Was able to pull in there about 6 rebounds per game. Ran the floor relatively well. So I do think that whoever is going to be getting him, I do think that they're going to be able to get a nice little bit of an upside guy as well. And speaking of upside, DeJure Reeves, he's going to be heading on over to Iona. I do think that with Tobin Anderson, he's going to be able to do a nice job with Reeves, as he was really a nice number two option. You had St. Thomas, who was just absolutely amazing this past season over at Northern Colorado, but DeJure Reeves was really able to take the load off of him as a number two scorer, an all Big Sky performer. He was the best sixth man out there in the Big Sky. He only started 11 games, but was able to put up there 15 points. He had about a seal and a half per contest, shot 38% from three, and just Tobin Anderson in general does a good job scouring the lower ranks for talent. He probably saw quite a bit of him while he was over at Trinidad of Colorado State College. He was a junior college transfer before heading on up to Northern Colorado, and as a matter of fact, was a very highly touted guy at the junior college level, so I think that that is going to be pretty solid for them. This is a case where I think that we're going to be seeing more of the same from Oregon State. Parcells Fabah, he was over at Southern Utah this last season, put up 13 points, 6 rebounds per game. He's heading on over to Oregon State. Now, for Oregon State, this is better than what they've been getting in the transfer portal recently, but in a game of keeping up with the Joneses, they have not done a very good job of being able to do so. This Oregon State team has not been able to land a lot of guys via the transfer portal, and for Fabah, he put up some okay numbers over at Southern Utah, but Southern Utah was absolutely terrible down low. I've got my question marks as to how he's going to be able to match up with better competition. I don't know what the schedule is going to be looking like for Oregon State because the Pac-12 no longer exists. They and Washington State were left holding the bag at the end of the season, so that's not great to say the least. So we shall see what happens there, and we shall see if UW Green Bay is able to use the Onalaska transfer in Cole Henry. He was playing this last season over at Northern Iowa, and I mean, it was just really good what Sundance Wicks did in the transfer portal this past off season for UW Green Bay and Northern Iowa. He was solid the last two seasons. Didn't see a ton of minutes, but he averaged right around about 5.5 points, 4.1 boards, 2 assists per contest. 2 seasons ago at Northern Iowa. A little bit of a drop off this year to about 3 points per game. Not a guy that's going to go out there and pop threes, but at 6'9", he's going to be heading on over to UW Green Bay, a Green Bay team that I felt like they just needed to add a little bit more in terms of just being able to protect the rim. UW Green Bay did a really nice job on the defensive side of things, so I do think that this is going to be very much fitting their system, and it's going to be able to help them elevate moving forward, and I do think that this is a little bit of an elevator move moving forward as well. Marquise Barnett, he was playing over at Presbyterian this last season. He's going to be heading on over to Kent State. For Kent State, I love what they've done in the transfer portal. They bring in Sion Medley, who was not necessarily too much of a scorer while he was over at St. Louis, but he was a really nice facilitator. Barnett was playing for the Blue Hosts of Presbyterian this last year, and he's a little bit more of a go-to guy. Not a guy that's really going to make a lot of threes. Only shot about 26.5% from the outside, but 14.5 points, 4.5 boards, 2.5 assists. Nice little stat sheet suffer at 6'4". He's able to generate some steals, nearly 2 per contest, and that's what was really lacking for Kent State. When they made the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago, they did not have guys that were really able to generate those turnovers. He, along with Medley, these are guys that are going to get up in your grill. They're going to generate those turnovers. So I absolutely love this addition for them, and it does feel like Kent State is getting back to happy. And for Minnesota, they've made some shrewd moves in the transfer portal that made some big impact in recent years, and I think that this is a solid pickup. Frank Mitchell, he last season was playing out there in the Metro Atlantic for Canisius. He was one of the top double-double guys in all of college basketball as well. 12 points, 11.5 rebounds per contest. Not a guy that's going to give you versatility, but was able to give you a block per contest. He's heading on over to Minnesota. Now, I don't think that he's going to be able to have like a tremendously massive impact or anything like that, but I do think that he helps out a Minnesota team that they were just gashed on defense last season. They were a team that, with regards to their interior defense, they would give up quite a bit. Frank Mitchell should be able to help out with that. A little bit undersized for the Big Ten at 6'8", but he's got a nice body. He's got some really nice strength. So I do think that Minnesota setting themselves up for some success moving forward, and they're going to look to pretty much try to piggyback off of what they were able to do a season ago, because prior to that, it had been a long, long road for our good friends in Minnesota. They were able to do a solid job there. You saw Michael Nwoko, hopefully I said that correctly, decide that he is going to be going on over from Miami to Mississippi State. Mississippi State absolutely loves their big men. We've seen that in recent years. And with Tolu Smith running out of eligibility after being on campus for 500 million billion years, they do need to bring in some new guys as well. And man, Mississippi State has some really, really old big men. It's G.J. Jeffries. He's been in college basketball for forever. Nwoko just could not get out there on the floor because you had down low for Miami no Chad Omier, but I mean, he was solid last year when he was given some minutes, was very much glued to the bench with only about 9 minutes per contest, but he's able to give you a few rebounds at 6'10", 245. He very much fits the Mississippi State mold of a big man that knows what he is. He's going to be able to give you some rebounds. He's going to be able to do a rock solid job of being able to deny some shots from 3-point range. So I think that he's going to be able to come in and do some relatively nice work. You saw Deontay Green, who last season was playing over at Florida State. He's going to be staying within the state, and he's going to be heading on over to South Florida. And I do think that this is a great move for South Florida. They did such a great job of being able to scour the transfer portal this past off season. And for Green, he didn't see a ton of minutes for Florida State. Needs to work on that shot. He only shot 17.5% from 3-point range this past season after shooting 40% the season ago. But 4.5 points per contest was a nice little mixer shaker. Baker at 6'10" that's able to stretch the floor. So I do think that this is going to be big for a South Florida team that their biggest kryptonite last season was the fact that they did leave a little bit of something to be desired on the glass. And I do think that they are doing a nice job of being able to address that. You've also got Kobe Brooks, who just didn't see any playing time at Gonzaga whatsoever. He has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. And we're going to be seeing a lot of that moving forward as well. And you saw Amir Langless. He last season was playing over at USC Upstate, one of the only guys on the roster that averaged north of 3 boards per contest. He was able to give you about 8 points per game. He's decided that he is going to be heading on over to Tennessee State, and just feels like Tennessee State always gets those solid, consistent guys, nothing that's overwhelming or anything like that, but just a bunch of guys that in general, they're going to know their role and they're going to be pretty solid. And for Missouri, they're looking to be able to find their solid ways once again in the transfer portal and just be able to have some more cohesion in general. Dennis Gates, 2 seasons ago, he got things really up and running with Missouri with transfers. Last season, it was a big giant failure, and now he's looking to Marquise Warwick, who was the go-to scorer the last few seasons for Northern Kentucky. He averaged 20 points per contest. Now, for Warwick, the overall game itself, it needs a little bit of work, and there's no way that Missouri can run their offense just running completely through Warwick. If you look at what he did in the Horizon League last season, while he put up those big point totals, he shot about 29.5% from three. Now, granted, first 3 years on campus, he shot north of 35% from three, but when he gave out about 2.5 assists per contest, good but not great on defense. As for Northern Kentucky, they've had a lot of guys around him that played some very solid defense. So for Missouri, he needs to have a few guys around him that fit, but if he's got those pieces that fit, this could be a very good ad for them. And with regards to NBA draft decisions that we did see on Wednesday as well, Pell Larson has decided that he is going to be declaring for the NBA draft, and he will not be maintaining his eligibility. So this is quite a loss for Arizona. Shot over 40% from three. Nice double-figure score. This comes on the heel of Caleb Love about 24 hours ago deciding that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Now, there's a possibility that he could be returning to campus, but that said, this is going to be a little bit of a loss for an Arizona team that was so explosive on offense. But at this point, I trust in Mr. Tommy Lloyd to be able to have the offense up and running. It's going to be all about that defense. Still some question marks there, and there's no question marks with this move. G&I Broom, he is going to be cleaning up once again at Auburn. He announced on his Twitter/X feed that he is going to be returning to school, and this is massive because with G&I Broom, he was so versatile as a big man for this Auburn team. Now, Auburn needs to break down the wall and be able to win in the NCAA tournament, but wasn't Broom's fault. He was able to play relatively well in that game, 16.5 points, 8.5 boards, and has really worked on his range as well. When he came into college over at Morehead State, he was not able to pop threes at all. This past season, took about 2.5 threes per game, shot 35.5% from the outside. He is going to be a menace once again out there in the SEC, so this is absolutely massive for them. Mark Sears, he's going to be entering into the NBA draft, and he's going to be maintaining his eligibility. He was able to log just about 20 points per contest over at Alabama. Really good shooter in general. So you have to figure that this is going to be a big time NBA draft decision, as I do think that he's a little bit more of a borderline guy. And then you saw Nique Clifford. He was over at Colorado State. He has decided that he is going to declare for the NBA draft. I did not see if he was going to be maintaining his eligibility. I know that Chase Hunter, who was over at Clemson this last season, he is going to be declaring for the draft, but he is going to be maintaining his eligibility. So that's something that you do want to be mindful of. And it's something that I did talk about in the first segment, how big that is going to be. But for Clifford, this last season while he was over at Colorado State, 12.5 points, 7.5 boards, he doled out 3 assists per game, and he shot about 37.5% from three. Solid player out there in the Mountain West. I'm not sure what his pro prospects are. If he does decide that he is going to be staying in the NBA draft, I have to think that he's playing overseas or something like that, but going to be paying attention to that. And I know that John Rothstein, he made this announcement that Fran Dunphy is going to be returning as LaSalle's head coach for this upcoming season, which, good for LaSalle, because, man, for this LaSalle program, I don't know if they could find that would necessarily be better than him. So that's a nice little add. And then Reese Beekman, he's going to be foregoing his final year of eligibility. He's going to be entering in the NBA draft for Virginia after how the season ended last year. I'm sure that all are pretty content to be turning the page, and Reese Beekman had a nice college career. Double-figure scorer, was able to draw 5 assists per contest, did a nice job being able to generate turnovers, but for Virginia, it just feels like they need a fresh start after the turd that they put up in the NCAA tournament, and hopefully we will not be putting up a turd in the 2025 NCAA tournament. We are going to be looking to make this 2024-25 season as profitable as humanly possible, and we are spending every single day preparing for it. start to make ourselves some great money in season. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you'll have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters DM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a big thanks to Ethan Bach. He does tremendous work over at Portal Report. He joined me in the last segment, and I'm going to be coming at you guys every single day, as I mentioned, throughout the college basketball season and the year in general. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.